Buddy, and welcome to Monday night. And you know what that means? It's another sim racing podcast, but this one, again, it's a special one, as they all are special. This is week two, episode two of the Cooldown Lap, which is the official podcast of Midwest Motorsports. And what a race on Friday night in the Truck Series. We'll tell you about that as well as some exciting information coming up, because next weekend, September 8th through 10th, is championship weekend at Nashville. And we've got two pretty tight points battles and one with a P2 driver with an outside shot if everything goes his way and everything goes no way for the leader. So three big races coming up and should be real exciting. And I will be back in the booth Friday night for the Truck Series. I'll be sitting on the tailgate of my truck at New Hampshire Motor Speedway after the motorcycle races for the day. So just call me the wandering reporter. I'm all over the place. So let's get into it. This is the official podcast of Midwest Motorsports, produced by the Sim Racing Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Dreis. And let's introduce the two owners of the league, Justin and Eric Thaler. Hey, guys, what's up?
How's it going,
Greg? Doing well. How are you? Good, and thanks to send a bunch of kudos out to your league out there. We had a real good week last week as far as number of views and downloads, etc. like that. We had 90 downloads and views last week for the first podcast, so that is really, really good numbers. My average is usually 45 to 50, depending on what the topic is and what the league is, so you guys got a good loyal following out there, and I appreciate the support and for helping you guys out. So let's talk about that. Is there anything you guys want to get into first before we get into trucks?
Eric, you want to talk about maybe a couple teasers for our next season of Oval?
Yeah, absolutely. So we sat down last night and went over season six, you know, some things that you noticed in season five that we kind of wanted to adjust and change, which, you know, we're excited for, some of which is our point structure. So going more towards what we did in season four, but also adding it to stage three. So, for instance, we're going to score the top five finishers of each stage. We'll get bonus points that go towards our chase reset.
Oh, cool.
And on top of that, you know, each stage will get awarded, one through five. And then on top of that, the winner will get a winner of the race will get a point towards the chase as well. And along with that pole sitter. So, some points changes that are going to take effect. We're also awarding the regular season champion 10 points instead of 5 this time. So that may mix up a little here, you know, going into the chase for season 6. So, got some exciting things there. And just some minor rules changes, but for the most part, it's pretty much set the same. As far as, the timings and what cars were running and whatnot, but, we're heading into season 6 here shortly. Probably another 4 weeks. We'll start off the duels at Daytona that first weekend in October. So we're getting excited as we're closing out season 5 for season 6 to come around.
Okay, what about recruiting races between now and season 6, or are you just taking like a couple week break? What's going on in between seasons to keep everybody interested?
Yeah, we'll throw some recruitment races up. But definitely on Friday nights, to keep that momentum going with our truck series. But, you may see some Xfinity and Cup sneak in Saturday and Sunday too. But, we tend to throw them up there and whatnot to try to recruit, but as well as, understand when our guys need a break too. So, we're not, we don't necessarily want everybody to join that's in the league, but if they can, it's great to keep that camaraderie going and you know, keep that racing going too. So
yeah, we took a summer off one season in the Joe Sixpack Racing League. I think it was the first second season we did that. We finished around July 1st, and took the summer off. We started again the week after Labor Day, and then all of a sudden everybody in the league is throwing up races and during the week, so they kept racing and just having a good time. So that does work to keep the interest up.
Yeah, for sure.
So new season in road starts tomorrow night.
Yep. Yeah. So our first race will kick off, starting off at Brands Hatch. No sprint race for the first one. So just a standard or hour long. You'll have to pit for fuel at some point. So there's a pretty decent fuel window for when drivers want to pit. But really looking forward to that. We got 27 out of our 35 drivers signed up for it. So it'll be a really packed grid. So I'm looking forward to that. Our guys on the road side they've been itching to get back in the rig and do cool. some driving. So it was like a week after, you know, we told them there's going to be about a 3-4 week kind of off period, you know, mm-hmm. let the admins, you know, gear up, get ready, get the final touches on everything we need for the next season. And they're like, no, we want to race. So we're really excited. We got quite a few new drivers in our league since we've been promoting that, and a couple guys from our Oval series have decided to come and join up on the roadside too. So it's going to be a fun one. I'm looking forward to it. I love Brands Hatch, and there'll be a lot of competition and, you know, some traffic to navigate and so forth. So we're really excited.
Cool. What's the special challenge to Brands Hatch, if there is one? What makes it
either hitting your marks or making sure you carry some speed through like the last couple sectors of the track with the two right handers, you know, on the backside, and managing traffic. It's a narrow track. There's plenty of passing opportunities if you can set yourself up. But you know, there's no real corners that you can make a lunge for, I would say, but, it's a narrow track. So it's going to be, hopefully there's some tight racing and it doesn't, you know, cause there's no incidents, you know, from guys door banging too hard, but it'll be fun. If you find yourself off track there, it can be a little scary, but, it's not super technical, but, It feels like a smaller track than it is because you can carry quite a bit of speed for the most part, but it'll be a lot of fun. There's a couple blind turns and things like that that you gotta know where to start your turn in for the apex and stuff. But it'll be fun with the grid size that we're gonna have, and we're all looking forward to it.
And how many sets of tires, or how quickly does that track eat up the tires? And you think everybody will use all their sets?
You can probably make it on one. It's kind of going to be, it wasn't too bad. I ran for about a half an hour and I was still in the 90s or so, but I'm not going to have the pace that probably our faster guys will. But, you know, it does take some time for these GT4 cars if you're going to do a full stop. So I think if some guys have enough gap to whoever they're battling behind, you know, you can see a couple guys maybe take the gamble and see what happens. But I think it's going to more or less depend kind of on the track temps and see how bad it is. But it's going to likely wear your lefts a little bit more. So it could get interesting to see who wants to try and make it without taking tires or not.
Cool. Well, I know if I was running, I'd be using all my tires. Like, like I said, I love roads, yeah, but I'm no good at roads.
The F3 was fun because pretty much you could fuel tank tires and it didn't really cost me any additional time. So
cool.
Half the time it was kind of a no-brainer, you know?
Yeah.
As long as you take it easy on your outlap. But a lot of these GT4 cars right out of the box, they kind of have the grip. So there isn't too much in needing to build that group up. So, we could have some guys going at it, you know, in the first lap. So it'll be fun.
Good. So do a recap of last week. Let's start with that truck race at Dover on Friday night. Like we were talking about before we went on, I downloaded the live timing and I had it on another screen, and boy, that helped out a lot because you could see all the gaps between the cars and everybody. And all of a sudden, with about a couple laps left, it started jumping around like a slot machine. And I look for the, you know, the slot where I put my credit card or quarter in, but it didn't come up and say winner. So, and James, the broadcast, is like, what the heck is going on here? And all of a sudden he goes, that can't be right. This guy can't be leading because we've had another leader the whole lap. And all of a sudden here comes Bryce Meddings out of nowhere and wins on what turned out to be a surprising fuel mileage race, because all during the regular race, there was one or two drivers out there who always had like a half second lead. So what was your take on that? That was a really exciting finish.
Yeah, it was an exciting finish. You know, I think there was an issue with the 77 truck going into the pits there. You know, as a last green flag, which, you know, caused him to get a black flag and kind of mixed up those leaders. Fuel run. So, you know, an unfortunate, you know, effect for the 77, but, you know, it definitely put the 19 in contention and wound up, you know, the 19 getting the, getting his second straight win, with his second straight start. So, you know, excited to see what the 19 is going to bring next season.
Yeah, he spent most of the race near the back. Was it saving tires? Because we had a couple drivers in our league that do that. And we're wondering, the one time when he did go in it to change or to get fuel, it dropped him. When the one time he was up close in the top 10, it dropped him way back. And, you know, James and I in the broadcast booth were saying, can he catch up? And we're like, unless something miraculous happens, he's not even going to make the top 10. And then all of a sudden, bang, it happened.
Yeah, I had the idea that he was most likely saving tires at the time. You know, I think he was trying to conserve a little bit for that last stage, you know, so he could go, you know, a little harder, push a little harder, which we did see. You know, he did turn up the heat there in stage three, especially after that second pit stop. So I think that was a little bit of his strategy in one and two, you know, necessarily. You know, if you think of it, he's, you know, he come in as we hit the end of our season and, you know, has been a clean driver and, you know, he come in there late. So, you know, he's not out there trying to get points for stages or anything like that at this point. So, you know, you can't fault him for, you know, saving tires or whatnot in those first two stages.
Yeah.
You know, if you wind up with the win at the end.
Exactly. And one, we figured, because of the way he ran Watkins Glen, James and I were talking, the longer those first two stages were going on with no cautions, we were wondering what was going to happen to anybody that was saving tires, because what was amazing about that race was I think there wasn't any caution until either well into stage two or into stage three. So everything was really clean the first two stages on a very tough track.
Yeah, they were. It was a really clean race. He threw maybe four cautions that race, but, you know, it turned out to be less eventful than I thought, you know, from a race control standpoint.
Yeah.
Because Dover can be kind of, you know, it can be hit or miss. It's pretty much a short track because you're, you know, you're flying to those turns or whatnot, but, you know, I'm happy with the racing that the truck drivers put on this weekend. I think they did really well, and you know, we're out there turning some clean laps. So, you know, unfortunately, some green flag pit stops were, you know, what sent a lot of the folks to the back. You know, due to you know, either speeding into the pits or you know, unsafe pit entry or whatever the case may be, but. That is a hard place to get into the pits. You know, at Dover is getting down in the apron going into three. So, you know, again, you know, only having four cautions, it was a good, clean race.
Yeah, even that last caution, you're speaking to Bryce after the race, he said he wished that caution came out 5 laps later, because like we were saying, and I was watching on the replay today, right after he crossed the finish line, the whole truck starts wobbling, and it's like, oh, he ran out of gas too. So it was really tight, and it was really surprising how it turned into fuel mileage. First time chat, Ryan Latshaw dropping in to say hi. Welcome, Ryan. I don't know if he's in your league or not, but he's hanging out here with us tonight.
Oh, hi there, Ryan.
Hey, Ryan.
So if you want to...
Yep, he's one of our drivers. He's... he's in our truck series. Yep, number cool. 36.
Gotcha. Well, he's in the first-time chat room. We'll have to send him a first-time chat room prize, which I have no idea what that is. Just send him an attaboy. There you go. All right, so let's check the points for the 12 Trace drivers here. In P1, Dustin Reinstedtl with 1,186 points, 3 wins. He's 31 points ahead of P2, Mark Cochran. So unless the bottom falls out, it sounds like Dustin's pretty much got this wrapped up, correct?
Yeah, I think he's got it pretty much on a tight leash here. I think the only thing that could come about for Mark is potentially if, you know, Dustin has a catastrophic event, where he can't make the race or whatnot, you know, yeah. Mark wins some stages and ultimately wins the race. I think that could, get Mark pretty close to the win. So, you know, I don't know if he's got, you know, Dustin Swice's phone number, he can text her, you know, hey, can you cut the internet wire or whatever, you know, that might help him out a little bit. But for the most part, I think Dustin's got this one in the books.
Yeah, so if he lives on either coast or in an earthquake zone or you have torrential thunderstorm warnings, it sounds like it's a lock. But if it was something like, you know, the hurricane coming in, I would jump in, do a start and park, make sure I do a lap and then park so I get at least a lap under there. So Mark Cochran is in second place with 1,155 points, really tight between 2 and 3. Justin, you're in P3 with 1,149. Sean Happock, only 2 behind you with 1,147. P5, Ryan Enlow at 1,141. So from P3, P2 to 5 is pretty tight. So almost anything could happen in those positions.
Yeah, there could be a lot that happens. You know, Enlow could wind up, you know, up in third place or you know, even second with some good runs in Nashville. You know, unfortunately, he dropped a couple spots here last week in Dover. But, you know, he could definitely jump and redeem himself. But, you know, it is pretty tight there from 5 to 2. So we could see a little mix up there for sure.
Yeah, and Ryan was the one who was leading most of the night with pretty much managed the gap really well. Didn't get too far ahead to where the pack could catch up. It was like a second to a second and a half. And he was the one that disappeared off my radar screen with a couple laps to go. P6 is Justin Glockner with 1126. Andrew Miller, 28, is in P7 with 1124. P8 is James Olivson at 1123 points. P9 right behind him is Robert Olivson with 1087. Ryan Sargent with 1080 is in P10. Jordan Haskovec at 1072 takes P11 and rounding out the playoff drivers for the Friday Night Truck Series. In P11 is Aaron Holroyd with 1,003 points. So pretty exciting truck season. And how do you think season 6 is going to go for trucks? Just as exciting?
I think it will, Greg. You know, season 5 was our second season of running the truck series altogether. So, you know, for the amount of drivers that we've maintained from season 5, hopefully going into season 6 is going to be, it should make it a lot more fun, considering, you know, some points changes that we're making and make it a little more competitive around, you know, going into the chase and whatnot. So, you know, I hope majority of these folks will stick around for season 6 and, you know, I hope we can even recruit some more, but, you know, the trucks,
the Trucks have put on some good shows and have turned out to be pretty decent here, you know, as we hit the back half of this season. So, you know, I am excited for season six with the Truck Series to roll around and you know, see what we can do.
Very good. And since you're always accepting drivers, if there's somebody new dropping by, like I'm sure there will be this week, how does somebody get in touch with Midwest Motorsports if they want to join the Truck Series?
Always Midwest-Motorsports.com should give you everything you need. You go to the top to sign up. There's a sign up tab at the top, and it'll take you over to our sign up page where you'll register, and then take you to our iRacing page so you can join the league there, and then ultimately get you into the Discord afterwards. So, you know, heading over to there is going to help out. We should get season six registrations open here in the next week or so. So, you know, by then we'll be able to bring some new members on, but heading into that, you know, for a season finale and crown our winners.
Sounds good. Let's take a look at Xfinity. And the winner was Brandon Morris. He's number two in points and just 16 behind Michael Simia, who I think was last season's champion, correct?
He was not. Dustin Reinstedtl was last season's Xfinity champ. Okay.
My bad.
But Brandon did catch up to Michael quite a bit this past race. You know, Brandon basically swept the chase points and whatnot this race. Did a great job maintaining lead and pace and whatnot, and you know, came victorious. So you know, if he stays consistent and again somehow Scamia doesn't show up to the race, you know, he could come up with a W here for the championship. So you know, it could get exciting going into Nashville and you know, heading into the middle of the race there.
Cool. And you mentioned that Michael Scamia is a tough competitor and probably not in the mood to give up any points to anybody.
No, he's not. Mike's probably going to be putting on a show in Nashville. That seems to be one of the tracks he does excel at. So, you know, we'll see what Mike can do there, and on the same turn too. You know, we'll see what Brandon can do. You know, Brandon is a tough competitor as well. He tends to put up a fight. So we'll see what happens.
All right, well, let's take a look at the Xfinity points as of this week. Michael Scamia in P1. Three wins on the season, 1,182 points. He's in P1. Brandon Morris, this week's winner at Dover with 1,166, and two wins for the season, is in P2. Now, close behind him, and again, here we get really tight as we get a little further back in the pack. Andrew Miller, 28, is in P3 with 1,163 points. Clarence Prince in P4 with 1160. James Olison with 1151 is in P5. Joshua J. Watt at 1149 is in P6. Norm Snyder in P7 with 1148. Carlos Navarro 2 is here with 1144. Chris Taylor in P9 with 1102. Ben Litherland, 1,100, is in P10, right behind him at 10.07, or actually a ways back at 10.07. Andrew Holroyd in P11, and Randall Shelton in P12, rounding out the top 10. And don't forget Track Racer for all your sim racing equipment. And also get some money back to your league, because you can't believe the contract I signed with these guys and how much they're paying me to do this. So please, buy all your Track Racer stuff through the league and get that kickback so they can continue to put all those zeros, and they're all zeros with no number in front of them, on my weekly check. So Track Racer for all your sim equipment, and help out the league, because it does cost some money to run a league. I know when I was running Joe Sixpack racing between broadcasting and such like that, that some of the monthly fees were pushing $400. So anything helps. Track Racer, sim equipment, and get your league some money there. Rivenvale chimed in. best track racer Ed, so many zeros. Yes, they're all zeros. Okay. So the Xfinity season, what, anything new there, and when does that season start?
It'll start the same time our Trucks and Cup will. So, you know, we'll start that one off there, you know, in October as well with the duels that first weekend of October. So I believe it's the 4th or 5th, somewhere around there. Oh, sorry, it'd be the 6th and 7th and 8th of October. So we'll get going with season 6 then.
And still going to race on Saturday nights?
Yep, still race Saturday nights, same time, same place. So, you know, be hopefully you can grab some more participation. Xfinity seems to be one that you know, we get about 11, 12 participants weekly, but, you know, if we could turn that up to 20, 25, that would be great. So, you know, gotcha. We'll be trying to recruit for that series, but, you know, we keep you as competitive as possible, and, you know, all the guys do have fun with it. So,
super.
You know, the more people we can have, the better off it is. But, you know, we do enjoy, you know, the racing that it does put on.
Got it. So if you're just tuning in or, I don't know, surfing through Twitch and you see the Sim Racing podcast and the Cool Down Lap, and you got any interest in racing Xfinity and Saturday nights, you know what it's like in the open sessions and the league sessions on Saturday nights on iRacing. It's pretty bad. So why don't you jump into a really good Saturday night league and race with people who like to race. So that's the Midwest Xfinity Series on Saturday nights. And you can join by just going to Midwest Motorsports, and all the information will be right there. Checking out the Road Series, we discussed that already. Midwest Tuesday Night Road Series, Brands Hatch 9-5. That's tomorrow night at 7 p.m. as that new season starts. And how many races in that series?
I believe we have 24 total. So it's going to be a very long season. So some of the guys kind of keep their cool and deal with that. You know, you're not going to win it week one or two or even three. So, it's going to be a grind, especially with the schedule. There's some, challenging couple races that run back to back for us. So, going to be a good one.
What do you think the toughest track is going to be for this season?
We're doing the full Nürburgring. That's, you know, over 16 miles long.
Oh my gosh. That's right.
But a week before that, we have, Mount Panorama. So that's always very technical. You know, at the top of the mountain, you're coming down. Mm-hmm. You really got to be on your A game. It's really narrow, you know, through that section of the track. So, I would probably say one of those two, but, before that, we have three street courses in a row. So,
oh, cool.
We'll head from Long Beach to Belle Isle, and then we're going to run the Chicago Street Course. So we have those three, followed by Mount Panorama and then the Nürburgring. So it's going to be a rough five races in a row there. So I think anywhere, you know, those probably will be the most challenging ones. You'll be racing against the track more, you know, I think, than anybody else.
Should call that section of the series, or that portion of the series, Tour de France, is what it sounds like with all the long roads and downhills coming up.
We have the street race showdown, and then the too tough to tame series.
Oh, there you go.
I think they're named appropriately for what our guys are gonna be in for those couple weeks.
Yeah. Now the 15-mile course, I can never pronounce it. Is it Nürburgring? How do you say that?
Yep. Nürburgring.
Okay. So is it harder to say than it is to drive, or probably about the same?
Honestly, I mean, once you kind of get into your rhythm, mm-hmm. it's really not terrible. You kind of just pick up on cues of, you know, what the track looks like, and then you kind of mm-hmm. know what the next, you know, five or six corners are going to be.
Got it.
a lot of, there's a couple sections of the track, you know, they're really similar. So you have to kind of train your mind to remember which part is which. But it's definitely, it's the green hell, and the nickname's fitting.
Got it. Now, speaking of getting into a rhythm on a road course, do you feel that's more important on a short road course or a longer one, or no difference at all?
In my opinion, it's really not about the length. It's more or less the technicality of the track, right?
Sure.
You know, somewhere like, yeah, we have Charlotte Motor Speedway, the Roval, on the calendar this year. And for that, I don't think it's too hard to get into rhythm there just because of the way the track is. But somewhere probably like Suzuka, definitely the Red Bull Ring, or like Virginia International, that's something you really kind of just got to keep getting, you know, hitting your marks over and over and over again. And I think, you know, those more technical ones, once you kind of have a lap of concentration, and then you're frazzled for, you know, the next five turns, and you just kind of got to tell yourself, you know, just settle back in and
sure
get back on with it.
Yeah, Rivenveld chimed in. He said, Nürburgring is more daunting than it is difficult or challenging. Kind of sounds like a good description to go by.
Yeah. Yeah, we raced our F3, our first season. We threw that in. We gave the drivers in our poll.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can pick this track or that track, but one of them's going to go in the schedule. And they all picked the Nürburgring, and that was a wild one with the F3 cars, because there's sections of the track where, I mean, you're literally cresting a hill and you can get the rear end off the ground, and it's rough. it returned this year, and I was happy for it because it's always a fun one. But
yep.
And we're probably only going to get about four or five laps total. It's probably going to be around 10, 11 minutes if lap times.
Oh, wow. So someone's going to get there and think it's like a five lap race, and they're going to, it's going to open their eyes when they get halfway through it. And
pretty much, yeah. So it's always kind of the fun one, and I always like to put it on the schedule.
Yep.
But you know, if the guys aren't really feeling it, we'll put it up to a vote. But it made the cut this year, so it'll be fun.
Got it. And server opens at 7 p.m.
Yes, sir. That's correct. So server opens at 7. We run a 10-minute open practice.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by that is a 10-minute open qualifying. So
okay.
It's kind of hit or miss, you know, if you can get out and give enough space to where you're going to have at least a first flyer, you know, with no traffic in the way.
Yeah.
You know, so I like the open qualifying session. I think it adds to it.
And, mm-hmm.
You know, some of the longer courses, if you can time it just right, you can get somebody who's just that much faster, but you know, you can benefit off getting the toe off of them, let them punch the hole and
sure.
And, you know, increase your qualifying time a little bit. So I think it's pretty interesting how it shakes it up. So, after that, it'll go into the hour long race.
Cool. And you said you got 26 or 27 already signed up for tomorrow night.
Yep. Yeah, we got 20. Let me see here. If we've got any more, we got 27. Yep, 27 signed up. So it'll be a good mix. And really, since we introduced the pro and the am class split,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty much 50-50, which is really good. So we had our points admin do the media and iRacing for everybody signed up, and then we kind of funneled them into their each classes from there. And then on their relatives on the board, in iRacing, they'll see who's pro and who's am. So the am drivers can fight, you know, for overall positional points. So, you know, they find themselves quicker than a pro guy, you know, if the battles begin, but it'll be good. We have close to an even split between the two classes, and you're kind of going to see who you're racing and who you're not. But,
right.
We had a couple questions, you know, about some blue flag stuff, and, really, you know, the am class doesn't, you know, they're not required to yield.
Correct.
For the pro drivers, it's like anything else. As long as you're lapped by the leaders, then,
mm-hmm.
and you know, the blue flag will come into play. But
right.
It'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it, and it'll give everybody some points to fight for. And you know, you walk away with something. So try and tell the guys, you know, if you get into something, you know, 15 minutes into the race, you know, try and stick it out. There's points for everybody, and a lot can happen in however long is remaining in the race. So
great. And what else do I have there? I think that's it. So we're going to now jump to Cup Series. That was an off week this week because of the holiday. And the next race will be Sunday, September 10th, 7 p.m. at Nashville Super Speedway. And that will be the championship night there. And this is probably the most competitive of all the series going into next weekend, because Dustin Reinstedtl has 1,154 points, and right behind him, Justin Thaler with 1,150. So that sounds like it's going to be the biggest race next week, because Dustin's won 5 and Justin's won 4. So that should be a pretty good battle next Sunday night.
Yeah, that one's going to get interesting, Greg. You know, we'll see who comes victorious here at the end of the night, but it'll definitely be a very eventful race. It'll be the battle of the admins, but at the end of the day, the best racer is going to win. So we'll see what happens.
It sounds good. Do you know if Bryce Meddings is going to show up to that and throw a monkey wrench into it?
I don't think so. Not for this one, but
got it.
Hopefully we can get some laps under Justin before Sunday's race, and like I said, maybe something will happen to Dustin Sunday, but so he can't join. But
there you go.
We'll see.
So let's take a look at the points.
And we don't want Justin to win. I would just prefer him not to.
Oh, okay. let's run through the 12 playoff drivers in the Cup Series as they head into Nashville next week for the Cup Series Championship. Dustin Reinstedtl in P1, like we said, 5 wins on the season, 1,154 points. Justin Thaler in P2 with 4 wins, 1,150 points. Eric Thaler could play a spoiler role in one way or another with 2 wins at 1131s in P3. Anthony Castor in P4, 1,124 points and 2 wins on the season. Followed in P5, Jason Huffman with 1,118 points. Robert Olivson in P6 with 1,112. He is tied with Norm Snyder for 1,112. Clarence Prince right behind, pretty close there at 1110, followed by Chris Thaler with 1108. And further down the list, John Bates 3 with 1035, Aaron Holroyd with 1,000 points, and Aaron Serre rounding out the top 12 with 1,000 points as well. So seeing that almost anything can happen between P1 and P4. What happens if it ends up with a tie? Do wins come into that? Incidents per lap? Pole awards? How does that work? How do you guys break a tie?
It'll be over wins.
Okay. So that pretty much answers that question. So if it's a tie, it could be what happens, yeah. Justin, if you win... And
we haven't crossed that one yet, Greg. I don't know. we'll have to put that one to an admin vote for sure.
Oh, there you go.
To figure out, who would get it. Now, obviously, if it's between Dustin and Justin, we're going to have to leave them out of the admin vote. But, we'll have to figure out how we're going to score that one at the end.
Yeah.
And whoever has family blood.
We'll settle it with Joust.
Now we don't play favorites in the family thing. You know, I do have to give my father a drive-through penalty every week for going over IPL. So we don't play favorites here.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Just figure out like they did at Darlington last night when the lights wouldn't come on coming out of turn 3. We'll just throw a red flag and talk about it for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and that race is Sunday night, 7 p.m. also?
This one is, yes, 7 p.m. Sunday nights be the same for season six as well.
Got it. Excellent. So, since we had, well, we're still doing a pretty decent time here, going 40, 45 minutes. So, we're on the wrap-up page. Anything you'd like to talk about that you had on your list you didn't get to, or reiterate something? And then we'll be done.
Yeah, just looking forward to our road series starting up here. And, you know, we're still getting prepared for season six. For those members listening, we'll have the results of the polls that you voted on. Here in the next few days, we'll be posting those. I'll let you know what the tracks are we're going to run and whatnot while we work on getting the schedule together. And, following that will be the registration. So be looking for that.
Very good.
I just want to add, anybody out there who's not a current member, if you're interested in joining our league, check out midwest-motorsports.com. We have a really cool laid-back community, a lot of clean drivers. We welcome pretty much people of every level. So if you're kind of newer to sim racing or you're looking for a good league, I feel like we have a lot to offer with the four different series. Check out our website, follow the sign-up. It's three easy steps to fill out the form, join the league you apply for in iRacing, and join our Discord channel, and we'll get you squared away. So, and kind of to Eric's point, you know, we hold true to the rules, and he's had to break that a couple times. So I've become the favorite son, I think, on a couple weeks.
Okay. And, thanks guys. Another, good episode, a lot of good information, and looking forward to, this weekend, being in the broadcast booth from New Hampshire for the Truck Series final.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to it as well. Hope we can see some good racing Friday night, and see who we can crown as our winner.
Very good. Thank you, Eric and Justin. And once again, this is the Cool Down Lap, the official podcast of the Midwest Motorsports Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Dreis. Looking forward to championship weekend at Nashville starting Friday night, 9-8, going through Sunday, 9-10. And also coming up very soon, tomorrow night, is the first race of the new road race season. And be a short break and some recruiting races, and then season six starting. And please don't forget, if you want some sim racing equipment and help your league out, go through Track Racer and let them know you're racing with Midwest Motorsports, and they will give a kickback to the league and fill out all those zeros on my paycheck every week. It looks good to get all those zeros, even though it's nothing in front of it except the dollar sign. And for the Cool Down Lap, I'm your host, Greg Dreis. It's produced by the Sim Racing Podcast, and you can catch us live on twitch.tv/Greg Dreis right now. It'll be up there for the next 2 weeks. We'll also be loading it up on Anchor and Spotify, Google Podcast, and YouTube. And thanks to the 90 or so that came out last week to support this podcast. It's all about the guest. It's all about everybody else. I'm just running my mouth and providing the platform. So thanks, guys. We'll talk to you next week, and good luck in your races on championship weekend.